why do so many Lutheran churches look different?
Use the different expressions of different churches to reach different people.
Where are you going as a congregation?
What are we willing to bleed for?
Do your values reflect your beliefs?
When we know what we're about and other people know what we're about, there's just so much greater unity down the road.
So how do we craft them then? Welcome to the Lutheran Church Planter, a podcast exploring the theology, philosophy, and practice of planting new Lutheran congregations. I'm your host, Andy Coyle, a church planter, director of home missions for the AFLC, joined by my co-host and fellow church planter, Matthew Baumann. And last week, you heard the beginning of the season three here, the summary episode, kind of bringing together season one and the foundations and mission. With season two, getting into that process, looking at discernment and a lot of issues related to that. Today, we are going to, with this episode, dive into an aspect of that planning process specifically related to defining your identity, your DNA. Now, again, we've talked about some of these things in the last couple of seasons, but really this is going to be kind of narrowing in on looking at how do you put together who you are and why is it important? And so, man, sometimes we think this is an assumed thing, like, well, you get a bunch of Christians together or get a bunch of Lutherans together and you just think, well, of course, we're just going to be a natural Christian church or Lutheran church. We don't have to think about this too much. But we're going to make a case today on why it is important to really think through this issue of DNA and the different components of that DNA, because if you don't know where you're going to go, any road's going to get you there, right? And so you have to think about this. Otherwise, you're going to be at a place down the road that you're going to have to recover from. And so we want to start with the end in mind, and we're going to be talking about that as we go through. And so the question sometimes is, as we think about narrowing down our identity or our DNA is who does this? And so Matt, I'm going to bring you in on this as we think about, you know, those initial setup of the DNA or the identity of a congregation, who is a part of creating this?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think that's probably one of the biggest questions that people often wrestle with is who's responsible for it. And the answer is not going to be maybe as black and white as people would like it to be, because it's going to depend on where you're at in that process. If your congregation already has a group of people who are really excited and passionate and bought in on the idea of being part of a local church plant, there's probably a good chance they have a sense of kind of what that church is going to look like. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't at all. And that's okay too. But maybe they're in the season where they've already called. You've already gone through, you know, we've done season one and two, and they've already called a pastor who's also really passionate about this idea of planting a church and reaching people in the community. Maybe he has a really strong sense of the type of church that he would like to plant. So it really depends on where you're at in that process. I would say like some of this is going to be baby stepping it. So if you are a church trying to plant another church, you have a core group of people, they don't necessarily have to answer all those questions right off the bat. If they have a strong sense, they need to be communicating that to the pastor they're going to be calling, because that's going to shape the type of pastor they're going to want to call. But maybe they're like, hey, we just want to reach people and we're going to let God lead in this. We want the pastor we call to kind of really help shape that. Great. Okay, call and then let him lead that initial core group in forming what that looks like. So not a black and white answer. It's going to be a little bit of a team effort is what I would say. So that might not be as helpful as some people would like, but that's just the reality of how it looks.
Yeah.
Would you add anything to that?
I think that's good. I think that's good. I think you sort of set the tension with that. So as we look at defining our identity today, there's kind of four aspects to that. We're going to kind of go through three of those really quick and then just really focus on one. But in looking at an identity of a congregation, it starts with, you know, the mission, you know, and every congregation has the same mission. And I think we can maybe lose track of that. And the mission is, well, the Great Commission, right? We as a congregation are there to spread the gospel, to know Christ and to be his people. The mission is the same. The second step is beliefs. And now this is something as in the AFLC, we don't whiteboard this. We don't just create who we are. We actually have an inherited, handed down framework of what we say we believe. And season one, we talked about that as Free Living Lutheran is just kind of a simple handle, but we can go deeper in that into our confessions and just different aspects there. And so we don't get to make up what we think about the key things, the main things. It's handed down to us, and that's a beautiful thing. And so the question then is, if mission is the same for every congregation, and belief specifically is handed down to us. Why do so many Lutheran churches look different? Matt, what would you say to that? Why do, if these are all supposed to be the same within, let's say, the AFLC, why do the variety of congregations look a variety of ways? What's the issue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if it's an issue, but the difference is it is what they value. It's how right. they embody those beliefs and how mm-hmm. they live those beliefs out. And think of a picture of like a family, right? I mean, I'm looking out my window, all these different houses around me, all these different families. You go into any one of these houses and they're all going to have basically the same rhythms. Like, you know, they eat three meals a day, they go to bed at a certain time, but it's going to look different in each house. And that's the values question. Do they eat all together? What type of food do they eat? You know, do they talk when they eat? Do they watch TV when they eat, right? Those are reflecting the values of each household. And churches have the same thing. Those things that they prioritize in their community is going to be different from congregation to congregation. Now, that's not always bad. I think it can be bad. If the values are not reflecting actually what we believe, right? If we're not about the mission that we're called to be the people of God and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, if we're not about that, then yeah, that's a bad thing, right? There's something dysfunctional there, unhealthy there. But I think it can actually be an okay thing and even a beautiful thing because God can use the different expressions of different churches to reach different people, to carry out the greater mission that he is about, his kingdom being ushered in, right? So those values is often how we refer to it today. And every church has them, whether they know it or not, they do have values kind of pre-baked into who they are.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think sometimes in this conversation, this issue of values has been the hardest to maybe get our heads around when we talk with people about values, because they just naturally think beliefs, right? And certainly there's a relationship there, but I think that question of if the beliefs are the same, why do congregations look different? I think it helps expose and just helps us to understand, oh yeah, this is a thing. It's a big thing. And so we're going to drill down on that in a few minutes. But then the fourth aspect is vision, preferred future for your congregation. So if all your values are actually lived out and the ones that you set, you actually do, what are they going to actually create? What are they going to produce? Where are you going as a congregation? And that's developed over the long term, right? It's not just a next year, but a big picture thing. And so those are the four aspects of kind of thinking through your DNA, your identity, mission, beliefs, values, vision. I think mission and beliefs and even vision can come easier. The vision may be tricky in some areas, but values is what we want to focus on because that really then shapes the character and the nature of your congregation. So it's what makes your congregation different than others in many ways. So values then. So Matt, how would you kind of gave an introduction on that, but how would you define it further? If someone says, hey Matt, tell me what is a value and how is a value different than a belief?
Yeah, so the beliefs, you had a great kind of summary of that. Those are the theological convictions. Those are the things that we believe are explicitly being taught and must be affirmed because they're from scripture itself, right? Our free living Lutheran. Those are our beliefs. The values are, I would say, principles, standards that shape our behavior, right? And every family, every culture, mm-hmm. they have values that are shaping the things that they live by. What do we do? How do we behave? They're the things that when someone comes into your church that they experience often right. from a Sunday to Sunday, week to week basis. They're experiencing those things. So if someone came to your church, they attended it for the first time, and I said, hey, what was it like visiting that church? What they would describe are your values.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful. I like that experiential definition. It's what you feel, what you see, what you experience. So we want to just give maybe a couple examples of these values just to help you as a listener think through them. And then we're going to dive down further. But for example, one value that I know we in the AFLC really hold is being people of the word, right? Being a people of the scripture. And so then that can show up in a lot of ways. Because if it's something not only just that we believe, you know, the belief is that God's word is inspired and inerrant, it's God speaking to us, but that the value of that then is how do we use that word? How does that shape our ministry? And so, you know, many of our churches really prioritize expository preaching. It's how we're taught how to preach in seminary. Our churches prioritize Bible study, men's and women's and confirmation and youth group and kids Sunday school. We see that in scripture, in worship services where we hear selected scriptures being read. It's all over. It's baked into what we do with ministry. It's not only just something that we say we believe, but then the value is how we set up that ministry. Now, why this is important, because sometimes, especially in the evangelical world, it can be said, yeah, we believe in the scripture, it's important. But then oftentimes you'll see in certain services where, you know, you don't see the scripture at all. It's got a lot of energy and a lot of emotion, all this other stuff, but really it's all just sort of music. And then maybe the message is related to a scripture, but it's really just a launching point to talk about something else. And so we might say that, yeah, we believe in the inerrancy of the word, but it's certainly not a value if it's not baked into the culture of the community, right? And so this is something I think in the AFLC that we're really big in. And I think we see this value being lived out in our congregations. But that's kind of an example of one value. Another example, Matt, is a value there at Trinity, and I think in a lot of other churches too, but being historically connected or historically rooted. Speak to that a little bit and how that shows up at Trinity.
Yeah, so for us, it is comes down a couple different ways. One, it's, you know, we say we're historically rooted because this helps us to be faithful to Scripture. We think it's a really faithful way to follow the Bible and follow Jesus, is learning from what the church for 2,000 years has done and said and how she has acted. But we embody that in a very external way. We do that in the format of our worship service. It is a, you know, every church is liturgical to some way, has some order of worship, but ours reflects how Christians have worshiped by and large for 2,000 years, where every week we open the Word of God, we have scripture readings and a sermon, and then every week we share in the Lord's Supper together. And that, you know, going back from whether it's Acts, you see this as an example of what Christians were doing, or whether you see it in the Didache, the first couple centuries of the church, this is how they were gathering together. So we have that, you know, a little bit more of a reverent form of service that it reflects that historical vestments, you know, I'll wear an alb. And we wouldn't say with any of these things are necessarily like, you know, wearing vestments, you have to. No, it's not a biblical faithfulness necessarily argument, but it is some saying that, hey, we are connecting ourselves to those who have gone before us, and we are going to express it in these ways, you know, following the lectionary, following the church year, doing little things like, you know, having a processional cross. Again, you don't have to do these things. They don't make you a better Christian, but those are commitments that we have that form the type of community that we are and the type of people that we are. And when people know that and see that very explicitly being stated, right, in all of our communication, they know what they're going to get. So either they're drawn to that or they're not drawn to that. But when we know what we're about and other people know what we're about, there's just so much greater unity down the road in that. I'd say maybe a kind of a comment connected to the idea of values. When we think about values, is what are we willing to bleed for? What are we willing to sacrifice for? I think that's a really good way to kind of discern what are we willing to bleed for, right? And you can't bleed on for everything. You can't value everything. You really do have to pick and choose, you know, these couple few things that you're really going to be defined by and shaped by and that you prioritize in your life. And for us, this just happens to be one of those things that we feel, you know, very strongly about.
Yeah, for sure. That's really good. And I think, you know, we're trying to make a case for articulating these things. Every congregation has values. You might not know what they are. You might not be aware of them, but you do value something because everyone does experience something when they come into your congregation. So it's much better to be intentional about it than just being passive about it. But some other examples, you know, that we could drill down in, it would be if prayer is a value in your congregation, how does that really shape the life of the church? Discipleship, reformation, hospitality is a huge thing. Oftentimes we can say that we value this, but maybe we don't. And so each of these things, as you referred to with, you know, being historically rooted, require a system. Same with scripture, right? There are systems that you and your congregation have to live these values out, generosity. And so getting back to the idea of what are we trying to create? What are we trying to form and how that connects to our vision? Certainly, it's a really important conversation. So then the question is, if we want to keep moving with this, is how do we set this up? So as a brand new congregation, as you are trying to figure out what kind of congregation you want to be, and, you know, whether, again, the context of a core group, a pastor, or things like that, working together on this, how do you then, what is the process of discerning values or setting them up? And so maybe, Matt, why don't you kind of just walk us through the beginnings or help us think through maybe the categories in setting up values?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a starting place is to, again, acknowledge you already have values. You might not have them on paper or on your website. You have values. Every single church has those. You're assuming them, but they are 100% there already. So ideally, you can narrow it down. And this is for the sake of communication and prioritizing resources and time and energy, is to narrow down to anywhere from, you know, kind of the common recommendation is 3 to 6 values, something in that range. If you have 10, 12, 15, I've seen, you know, early on, churches that would actually try to have that, you just won't. You're not going to value any of those things in that. You have to have a priority of values. So having 3 to 6, that's really going to be a key thing. And as you think about like, okay, where do we even begin to think about what these might look like? Well, it's going to be an overlap between your beliefs. So thinking about like, what are the maybe particular beliefs? Again, as Lutherans, we have those set. Maybe the giftings of your church, the people you have in your church, with your context, right? What are some of the needs and opportunities within your community? So when you see an overlap of these things, conviction, the gifting, the context that, you know, is your community, that might be, for example, like I know a church and they have a food bank ministry, and for their small, it's actually a rural community, and there's a massive need in their community for having a food bank ministry. And they built a little metal building, did a food bank ministry, and there's individuals within their church who are deeply passionate and gifted in, to serve in that area. So for that church, you know, one of their values is serving the needs of, you know, those individuals within their community. And that becomes now a real strong centerpiece of their values that is, and here's where these all connect together. Not only is that something they're doing, but that is now how they are forming disciples. That is now how they're actually carrying out outreach. So when you have one value, that's not to say that you're not already connecting like these other, you know, evangelism and discipleship into it. There are ways that you're carrying out your evangelism and discipleship, right? That's a great example of what that might look like. Thinking about what are the unique maybe convictions that you have? What are the giftings that you already have in your core group? What is your context, the needs and the opportunities in your community? And begin praying through, Lord, where would you lead us to be ministering, and how would that look in this unique situation? What else would you add to that?
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking there, that these are all very positive. We're trying to make a case for positive values. Whereas I think sometimes, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm running through this idea of like, I can hear people saying, well, we don't need values. We don't need, why go through all the work to do this kind of stuff? And I was just thinking like, man, there can be a lot of negative values in congregations, you know, some negative values of scarcity or fear or isolation or tribalism or things like that, that you don't ever really want to address or speak of, but really shape the tenor and the experience of a congregation. And so again, thinking through like everything you just said is all very positive. It's a very mission understanding of the nature of the congregation. And so, which is why it's so important to really spend the time to think through, what do we want to be known for, right? What matters most to us in ministry? You talked about what are you willing to bleed for? It's so important to think through this so that you don't just sort of default into negative values, which is so easy to do in the life of a congregation. And so I think, as you were like, you talked about the 4 categories of convictions and things like that. But I think, you know, as we were talking before we started recording here, it's really important to be holistic in this as we think of values, because, man, there's so many things that you could say, I want to value this and I want to value this. Or we could say, well, I really only want to value one thing. You know, I just want to be a congregation that values evangelism, for example, which is awesome, obviously. I only want to be a congregation that values worship or discipleship without seeing the whole thing as a holistic framework. And I think, you know, just some good assessment questions to think through is, do your values reflect your beliefs, the entire beliefs and your whole theological framework? Because if you have a value that only reflects partial of it, then maybe that's not a healthy value, right? And so I think it's important as you go through setting up the values in your congregation to realize, okay, do these accurately reflect the wholeness, the holistic nature of what we say we believe and who we are in our theological framework? It's really, really important to be so you don't get imbalanced in being a congregation that just really only focuses on one thing. So I know we talked about that before, but anything you want to add to that?
No, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, another question could be, yeah, who do they reflect who we are versus who do we aspire to be?
Right.
And, you know, there's some people will say, like, you need to have two different lists of values. You know, one is who you are, one is what you aspire to be. None of this stuff is, we're saying dogmatically, this is from scripture, you have to have these. These are things that are helpful for you to carry out faithful gospel ministry in your community. So some of this might depend upon where you're at, but it's good to acknowledge. You could say, we value this, but maybe we want to grow in this, right?
Right.
So I think congregations, it's like, hey, we value prayer, but it's an area we know we want to grow in.
Yeah.
Like, I think our congregation, like, do we value prayer? Yeah. Is it one of our listed values? No. Could we grow in it? Absolutely. Would we like to grow in it? Absolutely. Yeah. So to recognize that there will be in every single congregation a gap, because the thing you state on paper that you value, you want to always be growing in. Mm-hmm. No one has it perfectly achieved, but you do want those values to reflect actually who you are, because you could go to church website and they have four values of what they value, and you go visit that church and you don't experience any of that at all.
Yeah.
Right? A church says, oh, we value children, and you walk in the door and the way you experience it is, well, kids are a burden, right? They're not allowed to be in the service. We don't really want them around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now there's a massive disconnect between that. So you do got to think about that difference between who we are versus that aspirational component of it.
Yeah, I think, and as we think about values too, another way to look at this that I think is helpful is to see values as like guardrails to guide our ministry and decisions. And I think the more intentional we are with setting up the clarity on our values, they become a grid for us to run every ministry decision through. Well, does this support this value, or does it distract us from this value? And so they really help us guide our ministries. And so that's another, you know, we've seen maybe the image of the value of using creeds and confessions. They're like bumpers on a, you know, it keeps you within track of historic Christendom, as opposed to just being whatever you want to do and believe is fine. In many ways, values are the same idea that keep you going the same direction of what you're stating you are. And so they're really helpful and healthy aspects of a congregation. So how do we craft them then? How do we put them together? What are ways in which, as a brand new team or a pastor or even as a congregation that maybe is rethinking about this in their own life, they might be a 150-year-old congregation, but recognizing, oh man, we do have values, but how do we shape better values or healthy values going forward? Where do you start? And you've already given some assessment questions on things, but how do you actually start doing the work?
Yeah, I think sitting down, I would say, you know, if you're an established church, like, you know, we have a lot of churches that listen that are kind of in that renewal phase or trying to renew. Like, this can be sitting down with your church leadership and just asking these questions. Hey, what are we about? If there were the top three or four things we're about, what is it? And put it on the whiteboard and say, like, yeah, write it on paper. These are the big things that we're about. And you're probably going to end up with a big, long list, and you have to narrow it down and see where there's overlap in that. You want to get it down again to that, say, 3 to 6 values. You want to define those in a short, memorable phrase, a way that people can actually remember it. That is, again, true to who you are. You don't want to get overly cute with it. I think sometimes churches try to get overly cute with their values. That's not always helpful. And have a brief explanation of what you mean by that. So something as simple as, you know, we are a church that values or prioritizes the authority of God's word, right? You're going to find that on a lot of AFLC websites, probably. The inspiration and inerrancy of God's word as a value. Now that, I would say, is almost more of a theological conviction, but let's just keep it, let's say it's a value. Well, what does that mean? There's literally a church, I was at this last week on their website and visiting with the pastor, a mainline church. And if you know mainline churches have walked away from God's word in so many different ways. And they called it priorities on their church website. In this very old congregation, one of their priorities, they said, was kids and family, which is ironic because they had like no kids and no family. And two was biblical truth. And I thought, wow, here's this church that is a mainline woke church, does not affirm, you know, biblical marriage, biblical sexuality, all those types of things. And yet on their website, they're saying, we value biblical truth. So what does it actually mean? So it's got to be true to who you are, but then give a definition of what that means for you, you know, that we're committed to the authority and the inerrancy of scripture. That means we commit time in our service of studying it. We submit our lives to it. We seek to have our community shaped by what God has revealed in his word.
Yeah, that's really good. And I'm thinking, you know, for the congregations that might not be brand new, you know, another way to do some of this assessing is to look at your practices, you know, like what are you actually doing right now? And what are those practices teaching? What are mm-hmm. those practices telling people what you believe and what you value? Nothing we do is neutral, right? Everything we do teaches something and confesses something. And so are your practices in synergy with your beliefs, you know, or is there a disconnect? And so this is a way to help assess everything too. And so huge conversation as we talk about values. It shows up all the time. And just encourage you, take the time to really think through this issue of identity and DNA, because you want to have a clarity on this and not just be making it up as you go. Because the temptation, especially in church planting, I speak to this definitely, is that you are so interested in people and getting people inside the door that you're willing to kind of just mold and meld to whatever. And it's a strong temptation to say, we're not really this, even though you are or you should be or whatever. And pretty soon you're something that is not even remotely close to what you thought you might be doing. And so the clarity, the identity, the DNA, having such simplicity of that understanding right off the bat is so important. It's really going to be a gift for a new congregation as they seek to enter into the craziness of church planting or church renewal. It's no different for a renewal too. It's a gift, values. So take the time, think it through, and do it in conjunction with others. Any final thoughts on that, Matt?
Yeah, just the importance of it. I would, you know, in planting a new church, you're right. I mean, I remember early on our first 6 months when we started weekly worship, had a couple come and, you know, they came for a while. They really loved the church. They loved the preaching. They loved the theological convictions. But the husband called me one day and they had not been in a church in like 20 years. So they were kind of like the de-churched coming back to church. But he said, you know, love everything about it except the music. You know, we think it needs to have more of, you know, this certain style of music. And I was able to share like, hey, we had clarity day one, the kind of the type of music we were, the type of worship experience people were going to have. So that was just a really good conversation I could have in a very loving, clear way of like, oh, well, hey, here's the direction we are headed. This is our DNA. And for him, right, this couple, they just weren't able to be on board with that. And they were able to go find, you know, go someplace else. Praise God, right? But it really was an opportunity to, one, disciple, but two, to maintain unity within our church. Because of the temptation, like you said, so many planters are, oh, this person wants it. And because we don't want to lose them, we're going to do what they want. And that becomes a ping pong, just exhausting form of ministry of keeping, you know, the latest person happy, trying to oil the greasy wheel, where these help protect from that. So really a gift to creating unity and peace. And creating a peaceful atmosphere for the pastor as well. So yes, absolutely engage in this. Don't stress out about it. It's actually a really fun process to see how God has uniquely crafted and gifted your congregation. So see it as, I guess, if anything, I think so many people enter into this as like a stressful process, but don't see it as that. See it as a gift, as a joy to see how God has uniquely gifted your congregation and what he is calling you to be in your community.
Right. Very good. Very good. Remember, this is all part of that first, that phase of planning, right? And this takes time. This doesn't just come together right away. So enjoy that process, but we'll be adding more down the road here. So thanks for joining us today. Again, if these episodes are valuable to you, share them, subscribe, leave a comment. It helps us learn more and reach more people. If you're interested in exploring church planting, church renewal, things like that within the AFLC, please contact us at aflchomemissions.org. See you next time.